بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed His book, Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, as a guidance for mankind. He said, Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب, that is the book, meaning the Qur'an. لا ريب فيه, there is no doubt in it. Meaning there is no doubt in it that it has been revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هدى للمتقين, as a guidance for the people. And the Qur'an will only be a guidance for us if we contemplate over the ayat of the Qur'an and think about their meanings. Like Allah mentioned, Subhana, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ A book which we have revealed to you, Mubarak, blessed, containing much barakah. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ So the people may ponder over its ayat, think and contemplate over its meanings, and live according to its guidance. And so in this spirit, we have begun a small series of lessons in which we will contemplate individual ayats of the Qur'an. And the first ayah we begin with today is from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 21 and 22, in which Allah subhanahu said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ The saying of Allah subhanahu, Ya ayyuhal nasu ubudu rabbakum. O people, O mankind, worship your Lord. Alladhi khalaqakum, the one who created you. Walladhina min qablikum, and created those who came before you. La'allakum tattaqun, so you may have at-taqwa, piety and righteousness. He then said, Alladhi ja'ala lakumul arda firasha. The one who made the earth for you, firasha, as a flat bed. وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءَ And he made the sky over you as a ceiling. وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءَ And he sends down from the skies or from the clouds water. فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ رِزْقًا لَكُمْ And due to this water, he causes from the earth the growing of crops and fruits and vegetation, رِزْقًا لَكُمْ as a source of provisions and sustenance for you. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ So do not make partners for Allah and you know. So this ayah is from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 21 and 22. And this blessed ayah contains the first command and the first prohibition of the Qur'an in terms of the layout of the Mus'haf. Of course, the first command of the Qur'an, chronologically speaking, in terms of revelation, was Iqra, read and recite, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq, in the name of your Lord who created. However, if we open the Mus'haf and look at the sequence of the chapters, beginning with Surah Al-Fatiha, and then Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran, all the way to the end, Surah Al-Falaq, Surah An-Nas. In this sequence, if we begin at the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha and we continue reading, the first command is, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ This ayah, O people, worship your Lord. And the first prohibition is at the end of this ayah, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا And do not set up partners and equals to Allah وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ And you know. Because the ayat of the Qur'an are different types. Some of the ayat of the Qur'an, they contain information regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His names and His attributes, stories of the prophets and the messengers and the nations who came before, information regarding the world of the unseen, like the angels and Jannah and Jahannam and the grave and so on and so forth. So this is one type of ayat, information regarding various matters. The other type of ayat are those that contain either a question, which may be rhetorical, or a command or a prohibition. And so if you begin at Surah Al-Fatiha and you continue reading, the ayat which precede, all of them are from the angle of information. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, all of this is information. The first amr, the first command, is this blessed ayah, Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu rabbakum, O people, worship your Lord alone. And the first nahi, the first prohibition, is فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا, and do not set up partners to Allah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins with this ayah, Ya ayyuhan nasu ubudu rabbakum, O people, O humanity, worship your Lord. And when Allah addresses people in the Quran, sometimes the address is specific to the believers. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe. And when we find these words in the Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, the address is specific to the believers, the Muslims, the people of Iman. And sometimes we find the address is general. Ya ayyuhannas, O ayyuhannas, O people, O humanity. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addresses humanity and mankind in general with the command of U'budu Rabbakum, worship your Lord. And this shows that the obligation of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not exclusive or restricted to one group of people over the other. Rather, it is general to all mankind, from the first to the last, and the Arabs and the non-Arabs. Because this is the purpose behind our creation. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and I did not create jinn nor mankind except that they should worship me. And this purpose, Allah orders with it and commands with it in this ayah. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, O people, O mankind, O humans, worship your Lord. Meaning submit to his laws and fulfill his obligations and comply to what he requests from us and stay away from that which he forbids. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, he who created you. Meaning worship your Lord, the one who created you from nothing, who brought you into existence from absence. There was nothing, and then Allah created us. وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, and also those who came before you, your forefathers, and the nations and the tribes who came long before we appeared upon this earth. And it's as if a person asks Allah, when Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ, O people of mankind, worship your Lord, it's as if a person says, and O Allah, why should we worship you and none besides you? And Allah subhanahu answers this question, because he is the one who created us and created those who came before us. And so this is a justification for us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you look at all the deities, whether it is the Christians worshipping Jesus or the Hindus worshipping their idols or any other deity, if you were to ask them, do you believe Jesus created you and created those who came before you and created all of creation? Even the Christians will say, no, he did not create everything. And similarly, if you were to ask the Hindus and the Mushrikun, do you believe these deities and these idols whom you are worshipping, that they are the creators of creation, of universe, of matter, of humans? They will refuse, or they will say, no, they are not the creators. And therefore, our justification as Muslims for worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is the creator, and therefore we worship him. And this point of argumentation Allah uses in this ayah to show us and prove to us the obligation of worshipping Him, because He is the one who created us. And then He said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And if you do this, and you worship Him, and you obey Him, and you abide by His laws, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, you will have a taqwa. And a taqwa is a generic term referring to piety and righteousness. And this ayah shows us the relationship between a taqwa and al-ibadah. And that it is a two-way relationship. And that is that if a person has inside them taqwa, piety and righteousness, they will worship Allah and they will fulfill His ibadah. And if a person worships Allah, it causes at-taqwa. So the relationship between ibadah and at-taqwa is two-way. If you have at-taqwa, you worship Allah. And if you worship Allah, He increases you in your taqwa. And then after this, Allah subhanahu mentions another reason or another justification for worshipping Him. And He mentions certain ayat which are visible to all of us. He said, الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. He is the one who made for you the earth فِرَاشًا. A bed. A plain bed. So a firash is that which is laid out in front of a person. Or يُفْرَشُ لَكُمْ. Laid out for you. Plain. Like a bed or a carpet or a rug. And Allah subhanahu, He describes the earth like this. الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فِرَاشًا. He is the one who made the earth for you like a flat bed. Meaning a place in which you can settle and reside, benefit from, build upon. A place for you to plant and sow and harvest and walk upon. And in it are the raw materials for everything which you require. And you can traverse upon it and travel throughout it. And other ways of benefiting and utilizing from it or utilizing it. So this is another justification for us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That not only did He create us from absence into existence, and He also created those who came before us, and that it also causes at-taqwa, and it is an indicator of at-taqwa. But in addition to this, why should we worship you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and none besides you? Because He is the one who created for you the earth, for you to traverse upon and benefit from. وَالسَّمَاءَ بِنَاءَ. And He made for you the sky. بِنَاءَ. He constructed it above you, like a ceiling. And also this to protect us from that which is beyond and above. وَأَنْزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. And He sent down from the sky, meaning from the clouds, water. So Allah subhanahu, He created for us the earth. And then above the earth, He made a ceiling, the sky. And then in the sky, or above us, are clouds. And from these clouds, Allah sends down that which we require to live, or rather that which every living matter requires, water. Humans require water. The fish require water. Animals require water. Even plants require water. And so this matter, which every living creature or even creature or even plants require, Allah sends it down for us. فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And then, due to this water which Allah sends down, from the clouds which He has created, in the sky which He has created, upon the earth which He has created for us, فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. He then causes growth and vegetation, crops and fruit and grains to grow from the earth. All sorts of vegetation and fruits and crops which we require as humans, Allah subhanahu causes this to grow for us to utilize. Why? Rizqan lakum, as a means of sustenance for you. and provisions for you. So you can eat and cook, utilize and store. And then after mentioning all of these justifications and reasons why we should worship Allah alone and none besides Him, then He forbids us from worshipping anybody besides Him. He said, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. And therefore, do not place or set up أَنْدَادًا besides Allah. And the word أَنْدَاد is the plural of أَنِّد. And أَنِّد means equals or partners to Allah. So Allah subhanahu is saying, O mankind, worship your Lord alone. Why should you worship Him? Because He is the one who created you, and He is the one who has given you your provisions and sent down the water and made the earth easy for you. And if you know this and you recognize this, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا, then the necessary conclusion from this is that you do not set up partners or equals besides Allah. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, and you know, meaning you know that it is only Allah who created and it is only Allah who controls. Therefore, do not set up partners besides Him. And this is partners in terms of worship. Firstly, do not make anybody equal to Him. Secondly, do not worship anybody besides Him. Do not love anybody like you love Him. And do not fear anybody like you fear Him. Because He is the only one who created. And those partners that people have set up, they themselves have been created. And they themselves have been provided for. They do not control anything from the heavens and the earth. This is Allah alone. And in this ayah, Allah subhanahu forbids us from setting up andadan, setting up partners or equals to Allah, or anybody who has a share in His right to worship and deity. And we are forbidden from setting up partners to Allah in every meaning of the word. For example, in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the hadith of Ibn Abbas, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, Ma sha Allah wa shit. He said to the Prophet, whatever Allah wills and you will. Whatever Allah wills and you will. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, Aj'altani lillahi nidda. Have you made me a partner to Allah? Qul ma sha Allah. Rather say, whatever Allah wills. Do not say whatever Allah wills and the Prophet wills. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade this man from making this statement, Ma sha Allah wa shit. Of course, the man did not intend that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is an equal to Allah in terms of creating and having a decree and willing for things to occur. However, the wording itself necessitates this. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade him from the wording alone, even though the man did not intend, of course, any type of a shirk. And similar to this is statements of shirk which are made without an intention, but the wording may necessitate. For example, a person might say, had it not been for the guard dog, somebody would have broken into my property. And this wording again is incorrect, even though there is no intent of shirk behind it. Rather, you should say, had it not been for Allah, the house would have been broken into. Or for example, you say to a person, my reliance is upon you. Rather, you should say, my reliance is upon Allah. This is what Allah ordered within the Quran. قُلْ هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. Say, this is from the virtue of my Lord. And do not attribute blessings to people. And if a person must, then you can say, I rely upon Allah and then you. Had it not been for Allah and then so and so. And this is from the perfection and the completion of At-Tawheed. And then Allah subhanahu said, وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And you know. Meaning you know there is no partner to Allah in that which He has created. And therefore, why do you set up partners to Allah in worship? And in the wording of this ayah, wa antum ta'lamun, and you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is appealing to the intellect of the mushrikun, the people of shirk, and showing them a logical evidence that you admit and you believe that Allah is the only creator, and that these idols do not create, and therefore it is illogical for you to worship them besides Allah, or to make them equals or partners to Allah. And the poet said, فَيَا عَجَبَا كَيْفَ يُعْسَ الْإِلَهِ أَمْ كَيْفَ يَجْحَدُهُ الْجَاحِدُ وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٍ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدُ. The poet said, how strange is it that people disobey Allah, or how one can stubbornly reject his worship. وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٍ, yet in everything there is for him a sign and a proof. تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدُ, showing us and proving us that he is one and alone. And in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, that a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, أَيُّ ذَنْبٍ أَعْظَمْ, O Messenger of Allah, which sin is the most severe? He replied, أَنْ تَجْعَلَ لِلَّهِ نِدًّا وَهُوَ خَلَقًا, that you make or set up a partner or an equal to Allah and he created you. And so this blessed ayah has a number of benefits. From the benefits of this ayah is that it establishes the obligation to worship Allah alone, at-tawheed, and the prohibition of setting up partners to him and directing worship to other than him, i.e. ash-shirk. Rather, as we mentioned, the command to tawheed is the first command of the mushaf, and the prohibition against shirk is the first prohibition of the mushaf, of the Quran. Also, there is an emphasis in how obligatory it is to worship Allah, because in this ayah, Allah commands with an action and then he forbids its opposite. And in the Quran, whenever you have Allah commanding with something and forbidding its opposite, then this is the most emphatic type of obligation. So Allah commands with at-tawheed and worshipping him alone, and forbids its opposite, which is ash-shirk. And therefore this shows us that the greatest command and the first obligation and the most emphasized or emphatic legislation is to worship Allah alone upon tawheed and to stay away from ash-shirk. Also, from the benefits of this ayah is that it is allowed to address the intellects of the people using intellectual arguments and that which is logical to them in order to establish the truth. And also this ayah, it contains a principle that the ulama mention, الرُّبُوبِيَّة تَسْتَلْزِمْ الْأُلُوهِيَّة, تَوْحِيدُ الرُّبُوبِيَّة يَسْتَلْزِمْ تَوْحِيدُ الْأُلُوهِيَّة. And that is that if a person affirms الرُّبُوبِيَّة, if a person affirms that Allah is the Lord and the Creator, the Provider, the Sustainer, the one who controls, the one in whose hand is harm and benefit and life and death, if a person affirms this, and this is known as Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, this necessitates from us worshipping him alone and submitting to his command. So this is a principle in Al-Aqeedah, which is oft mentioned in the Quran. الْرُبُوبِيَّةَ تَسْتَلْزِمَ الْأُلُوهِيَّةَ, affirming the rububiyyah of Allah necessitates from us that we affirm the uluhiyyah of Allah, the sole right of Allah to worship. And for this reason, it is illogical for a person to affirm that Allah is the creator and then set up partners with him, to affirm that Allah is the sustainer and then ask others for sustenance. And then finally, this blessed ayah, it contains three proofs for resurrection. Even though they are not mentioned directly in this ayah, however, we can deduce or understand from the ayah three evidences or three proofs which justify or which show us that there will be a resurrection after death on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The first of them is that Allah subhanahu mentions that He created us and He created those who came before us. اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم. Allah said, worship your Lord, the one who created you and those who came before you. And the fact that Allah created us from absence into existence is an evidence in of itself that Allah will resurrect us and is able to resurrect us. Because it is more difficult, if you took a person, it would be more difficult for a person to create something out of nothing as opposed to merely reviving that thing or changing it from one form to another. So nothing is difficult upon Allah. Everything is easy for Allah. But creating something from absence is more difficult than resurrecting something which has already been created. And yet nothing is difficult upon Allah. And this evidence Allah mentions in another ayah directly in the Quran. He said, فَسَيَقُولُونَ مَنْ يُعِيدُنَا. That the Quraysh, they ask, who is the one who will bring us alive again? Who is the one who will return us to this earth? Once we have been eroded and the earth has eaten us up, who is the one who is able to return us back to this life? Allah said, قُلِ الَّذِي فَطَرَكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Say, the one who created you in the first instance, He is the one who is able to resurrect you once more. The second evidence is that in this ayah, Allah subhanahu first mentions the creation of us as humans. And then He mentions the creation of that which is greater than the humans, like the heavens and the earth, and that which every living material requires, meaning water. And therefore the argument is that it is, if Allah subhanahu is able to create that which is greater than the humans, the heavens and the earth and everything which is between them, then it is even easier upon Him to resurrect humans. Even though everything is easy upon Allah subhanahu. And also again, this evidence Allah mentions directly in the Quran. Allah subhanahu says, أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ. Is not the one who created the heavens and the earth able to create that which is similar to them? Meaning, if Allah created that which is much greater than you, the heavens and the earth, is He not able to resurrect you once more? Bala, of course. وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. And He is the absolute creator and the all-knower, the all-knowing. And then the third indirect evidence is analogy which Allah uses. In that He compares, or He mentions a comparison, and that is the sending of the rain and the growth of crops. Allah subhanahu said, وَأَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. And He sends down rain from the sky, from the clouds. فَأَخْرَجَ بِهِ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And then He causes vegetation and growth from this earth, رِزْقًا لَكُمْ, a sustenance for you. And the point in this is that before Allah subhanahu sent down the rain upon the earth was barren and dry and dead, and there was no movement and there was no growth. And this earth which is barren and dead and dry, and there's no growth and no movement and no greenery, when Allah sends down water, He causes it to grow and He gives it life. And there is growth and movement and greenery. And similarly like this, if Allah is able to give life to a land and an earth which is dead and barren through the sending of the rain, also He is the one who is able to give life to a human after he has died. So these are some of the benefits and the contemplations from this blessed ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 21 and 22. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. هذا والله أعلم صلى الله على نبينا وسلم.